HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pep Talk, your get-up-and-go fix of the day. Sharky Zartman here, and are you ready to do some mind-boxing? Well, today we have a 23rd generation Kung Fu master trainer and author, Sifu Singh, who is the creator of the Mind Boxing program. Now, I can't wait to find out how to do this. We also have Dr. Mamiko Odegaard, an internationally recognized love, relationship, and performance expert. And today she will talk about how to overcome self-sabotage. If you have a tendency to settle for less than you deserve, you need to listen. The first up is Sifu Singh, who helps elite audiences and organizations achieve what he calls the high performance zone. And he has trained more than 100 military law enforcement agencies, elite executives, and pro athletes. And today we'll show us normal folks how to use mind boxing and win the war within. So welcome, Sifu.
Oh, thank you very much, Sharky. Pleasure to be on your show.
Well, pleasure to be with you. And I have to ask, is Sifu your real name?
No, my real name's Harinder Singh. Sifu is my title that's been given to me. It's equivalent to sensei in that most people have heard of. It's from the Chinese philosophy in martial arts. When you reach the level of master teacher, you're awarded the title Sifu.
Oh, got it. Okay, so it does mean teacher, right?
Yes, it exactly does.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I got to ask, how did you come up with mind boxing?
Well, you know, Sharky, we all have this voice in our heads that never quiets, that never shuts up, that's always on, that always tells us what we can and what we can't do. Yeah. And, you know, my whole life has been spent as an obsessive thinker. I was always up in my head thinking and worrying about what's going to happen or obsessing over things that had already happened and could never be in the moment, could never be in a place where I could enjoy life, could never be in a place where I could connect to my loved ones. And it was something that, you know, when I was young, I lost my hair to alopecia areata, so I was always in my head thinking and worrying. And then I was in a very bad car accident, and once again, it was like, again, thinking and worrying, am I ever going to get better? Am I ever going to walk properly again? But then through the martial arts, I discovered, you know, this place, this thing that I call the high performance zone, this state of mind where my mind actually became still through combat. And I was like, wow, this is actually the state that we're looking for, the present moment, the now. And that's kind of what got me into it.
All right. And now you are sharing it with everybody, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the high performance zone, is this something that anyone can achieve?
Absolutely, Sharky. Anyone can achieve the high performance zone. You know, it's a state of mind where we have heightened levels of attention and awareness, a place where we are connected to everything around us, and a place where time actually starts to slow down. We all know that when we get into a tense situation or we start to think about things too much, what ends up happening is that time starts to speed up, especially when we get nervous or we're on job interviews or phone interviews or, you know, getting in any kind of a tense situation. Time starts to speed up. Our body starts to get tense. But the opposite of that is to learn to relax within the tension. We see this in great athletes. So great athletes talk about getting in the zone. You know, when everything slows down and everything is moving perfectly and everything seems effortless. And what I had to figure out was how can we get into this state all the time, because for the people that I work with, the elite military, government agencies, executives and so on, especially the agents and the soldiers, is that they don't have the opportunity to not be in the zone, especially when life and death is on the line. They can't be worried about what's going to happen, and they can't be worried about what has already happened. They've got to be there right in the now, in that place, so they can own it and execute their tactics and strategies. Because in the high performance zone, what's really amazing is that we have three superpowers that I believe all of us have, and we all need those to excel in our lives and to conquer not only barriers and things of that nature, but also to create things. And those three things are, number one is connectivity. We have to be able to connect to ourselves first. Who are we truly? How do we feel in that moment? And then be able to connect to other people and the environments that we're in. So for me, when I'm teaching my soldiers and executives, whether they need to connect to their opponent or connect to their teammates, it's the same attribute as when I am at home and I need to be able to connect to my son or to my wife or to my loved ones. connection, that connectivity is so important, and it can only happen in the present moment or in the high-performance zone, in a state when we're completely present. Then the next thing is adaptability. We have these superpowers of being able to, if there was a secret that I was to say that's out there, it's our ability to adapt to a situation, because we can't control people and we cannot control the circumstances. So we have to be able to control how we act and react to those situations and circumstances, and truly, as Bruce Lee said, be like water and adapt to the situation. Sometimes water has to crash through a barrier. Other times when it can't do that, it has to go around it. And other times when it can't do that, it has to find a crack and seep through it. And finally, last but not least, we have to be able to create. We have to be able to create the masterpiece of our own life, but also be able to create solutions to problems that come up in our life. You know, when things are going well, things are going well. But when things are not going so well in your life, the most important thing is that we need to be able to connect to ourselves and other people, adapt to situations and circumstances, and create the solutions so we can move forward. And that's really what the high-performance zone is about, and the attributes that it unleashes.
Okay. Getting into this zone, is this kind of like meditation?
Yes. Think of it more as mindfulness, you know. So meditation, we know there's many meditations that are out there. And yes, meditation is a word that I think has a misconnotation these days, because everybody's heard of meditation. I think almost every person has tried it. But I think the majority of people have failed at meditation,
right,
because they're... Their perspective is not exactly the same. So for what I mean by that is, when we look at meditation, I like to use the word recalibration. So we want to be mindful and recalibrate ourselves to the present moment. So just like a gun, we need to clean a gun to make sure that the gun works well. We need to recalibrate its sights to make sure that it shoots properly. So it's the recalibration, really, of it, instead of thinking meditation. Because meditation, just most people think that they need to sit down and they'll just do some breathing and they'll do some focus, and then instantly that they're going to achieve this state of mind. And that's the part where I think everybody goes wrong a little bit. Because what ends up happening is that they expect a result that is so far away from where they are, and they are seeking something that is unachievable right away. It's something that is achievable down the road, but not right away to them. So like if a yogi or somebody living off in the woods by themselves is working on something and has found something that has worked for them, they have worked this whole time to do it, but oftentimes they're out there by themselves living a solitary life, living in the mountains, and they've achieved great peace, which is amazing. But it's really hard for the person who has to live in society to be able to achieve the same thing, because they're not living outside of society, they're not living outside of the stresses, the pressures, the responsibilities. So it becomes a little bit of a disconnect. So I like to use the word more of recalibration, and anybody can recalibrate themselves very quickly into the present moment, and that's really what mindboxing is about.
Okay, all right. You talk about taking this into the boardroom, into high-stress business environments. So I think a lot of people can identify with that, going in and, you know, being kind of overwhelmed with power, right? And yet you want to change something. And I know of a situation right now where a person I know basically is in a coaching situation, but it's like everything's working against her, and she's getting really, really frustrated. And so what would you say to her about working with some of these people in administration who are trying to block her from being successful? What advice would you give her?
Okay, so I think the key thing when we're dealing with stress, or we're dealing with people or blocks that are coming in our way, we have to look at it in three sections. So first is before the encounter, then second is during the encounter, and finally is after the encounter. So, for example, the first thing has to happen is we have a concept called arrive before you leave. So that means that in the morning, what is the first thing that you do to prepare yourself to first be in your high-performance zone? So you're in a state of heightened awareness, attention, and you are ready to go. So we have a morning routine that everybody and anybody can do and try, and it's very simple. And I'll list it out for people, and they can give it a try. It will change how they approach the day and set them up for success. So the first thing is that when you wake up in the morning, drink some water because your body's in a state of dehydration. So drink a big glass of water, 2 glasses of water if you can, and that's the very first thing. The second thing after that, we should break a sweat. We need to break a sweat to get the physiology in the right place, the epinephrine, norepinephrine, serotonin, and we need to make sure that those are released in the body and the dopamine levels are released in the body so we start to feel good and we start to connect to our body. And by breaking a sweat, we start to move the energy around. After that, we should go into breathing exercises. And Mindboxing has breathing exercises and movement exercises in them. And a simple breathing exercise that people can practice is breathing in and breathing out. But the key thing is to focus on the still point. And the still point is the point between the inhale and the exhale, and the exhale and the inhale. So those are the points we want our mind to focus on as we're breathing so we can get in touch. So if you breathe in, hold your breath for a moment. Don't be uncomfortable. But just feel that stillness. Then once you've exhaled, feel that stillness before the next inhale. So that gets your gives you a task for your mind to do. So your mind starts to focus on that instead of the thoughts that come up. Because whenever we go to meditate or we go to do any kind of mindfulness practice, our mind interferes right away. Mm-hmm. And when our mind starts to interfere, it takes us out of the zone. It starts to say, oh man, this is not working. So that's a simple practice that anybody can try. And do it for 5 minutes. I mean, it does not have to be 30 minutes long. Do it for 5 minutes, and if you need to do it multiple times a day. I actually have an alarm on my phone, and for the elite people I work with, they've set 5 alarms on their phone. So throughout the day, they will just pull themselves out of whatever environment they're in, and they can take 5 minutes and just do this practice. Sometimes put on some nice music. Sometimes go outside for a walk. But just focusing on the stillness of the breath, and that's in between the inhale and the exhale. Now, once you've done that, the next thing in the morning when we're talking about our ride before you leave routine is to have a warm shower with a little bit of cold periods. The cold periods, once again, waken up the body, get you energized, get you feeling fresh. And then once you come out of your shower, I always suggest people to, for about 15, 20 minutes, read something that you love. Something that has nothing to do with your work, something that has nothing to do with your life, but something that you've always wanted to learn. Might be cooking, might be gardening. So we start the creative juices flowing in your mind, so you're taking time for yourself. And then finally, last but not least, after that point, fill yourself up with gratitude for everything that you have. The gratitude that you have, the greatness, great things you already have in your life, and take a moment for that. So if you follow those steps in the morning, before you leave your house, you're going to be in a much better state of mind. The world is going to be moving much slower. And if the world is moving much slower, you will be able to adapt to situations much better. Now when you get to work and you're dealing with people that are tyrants, we call them, or situations where people are against you or things that are highly stressful, we have to make sure that we know that we cannot control the other people and we cannot let their anger, their insecurities, their issues influence us and our performance. So we have to be the watcher, and that means we have to watch and observe them and not get tangled up with them and not get brought down with them, not go up and down with them, because if we start to do that, we start to get into their cycle and we get out of our state, our high-performance zone. And if things get really stressful, get back to the breathing. In that moment, you start breathing again. In just inhaling and exhaling, you know, it can be very subtle, but you just keep focus on your breath. And if you keep focus on your breath, you won't get into your mind and start to think, oh my God, I can't believe this person is treating me this way. Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And if we are out of that state of, oh my God, what am I going to do? I can't, this person's driving me crazy. If we're not up there in our minds thinking like that, then we'll be present. And if we're present, the solution will come. That's very important. And then finally, last but not least, when we leave the situation, before we go home, we can't go home tense. We can't take the tension back home with us. So I always recommend, again, if possible, do some breathing exercises before you get back home so you don't take the tension back to your family. Break a sweat again. Do a workout. Go for a walk. Take actual time to recalibrate yourself back so you're ready for your life. So if you follow that, if your friend follows that process of what to do before, how to deal with it during, and to make sure she recalibrates before she enters back into her social life or her regular home and her family life, she'll be much better ready for success, and her mind will be able to adapt and to seek solutions, and she already will know what to do.
Okay. I wrote this down. I want to read it back to you and make sure I got it right. First thing, arrive before you leave. First thing is have water in the morning, break a sweat, and then do your breathing exercises. Focus on the still point between the inhale and exhale. Then take a long shower with cold periods. That's cold water, right? Alternate.
Yes.
And then 5 minutes or whatever, read something you love. And then the last one is to express gratitude. That's the morning routine, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, good. I'm giving this to her. And, going into, a meeting, like what some people have to go into when they're fighting for something and they know they're going to be up against it, I think it's sometimes hard to be a watcher. Do you know what I mean? When you're trying to change something. And so...
Yes.
How can you have success, when you're meeting with these people by being a watcher? You said the solution will come to you. How does that happen?
Well, first of all, it takes practice.
Okay.
So it's a lifestyle change. So, it can't magically happen. It's something that you have to practice, and it's something that you have to be cognizant of. So by doing these routines every day, you will get better at it. Because what ends up happening, if we're not in our heads thinking about what's going to happen and worried about what's already happened, we are the watcher. We are the observer. We are in a state of observation. We can be in a state of observation and watching, or we can be in a state of thinking. And the thinking happens when we don't know what to do. So that's the other piece. If we don't know what to do or what's going to happen, then that gets us into thinking and worrying. So that's something that's very important. So there has to be, you have to have a solution to intercept the objections to what's going to happen. What does this person say? What are their objections going to be? What are they going to do that's going to throw you off? So you have to prepare yourself in preparation before that so that you can adapt and be like water and watch. Because if you're sitting there thinking and worrying about, oh my God, I can't believe this happened, what do I say to this person? And if you're trying to impress people, then that gets into causing big problems for you. One of the big diseases, there's a few diseases of the mind that I talk about, and one of them is the desire for victory. So if you're in your mind saying, I have to win, I have to win, I have to win, you're in the future, you will not be the watcher. Another one is the desire to resort to technical cunning. That means that if you're going to try to outfox the person, you're like, oh, I'm going to be smarter than this person, I'll figure out a way. Again, you're not the watcher anymore, and you're taken out of the moment. And finally, if you're another one is to overawe the opponent, the desire to show all that you know. So if you're there, oh, man, I'm going to prove to this person what I know, all the things that are going on with me, I'm going to show that to them. Again, these thoughts come up oftentimes for us, and if they come up, they take us out of the moment. And finally, last but not least, is failure. If you're afraid of failing in whatever meeting you're in or whatever situation you're in, you're going to fail. So failure can't be in your mind because failure is in the future. So it's taking you out of your mind. So if you think of those things and make sure that you're not trying to overimpress, that you're not trying to, you're worried about victory or defeat, that you're not worried about what this other person thinks of you, and that you're prepared from the perspective of what they're going to say to you, then you will be set up to be the watcher because you're ready for it.
Okay, this sounds amazing. So I'm writing all this stuff down for her. I know she's going to appreciate it. But you know what? We're just about out of time. So please tell us what your website is and when your book is coming out and all that good stuff.
Oh, absolutely. My website is called mindboxing.com, and my book is titled Mindboxing, How to Win the War Within. It's the art and science of self-mastery, and the book will be out in April. It'll be available on Amazon, and it'll be available on my website. And if anybody would like private training, I work a lot with executives and athletes as well, not just military, and helping them get into states so they can enjoy being successful. And that's the main and most important thing, is that we have fun and we have grace and gratitude for everything we do, and that we can overcome especially difficult obstacles and make ourselves comfortable in uncomfortable situations.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us today, Sifu.
Thank you so much for having me, Sharky. This was an absolutely wonderful time.
Okay. We'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this and Shark to Heart.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
We are back with more Pep Talk, and it's time for Shark to Heart. And I have a confession to make. For the first time in I don't even know how many years, I did not send out Christmas cards. I just got too busy. We came together as a family a couple times and took some pictures, and I, you know, thought, how about using these? How about, and you know what it's like trying to get a picture of everybody together. No, that one's terrible. My eyes are closed. Or no, that one, I don't look good, or, you know, whatever. And so I just put it off, and yeah, it's too late. So, but anyway, we did still get a lot of Christmas cards, and, you know, I love, you know, catching up with people and finding out what they're doing. And, but some of these come with newsletters. I don't know if any of you have friends that send you newsletters with their Christmas cards, but we do have some that do that. And while I really like hearing what my friends are up to, I sometimes feel bad after reading them, because it sounds like I did nothing in comparison for that year. I was just reading one yesterday, and this is a really nice couple. In fact, the gal I played with, you know, from volleyball, club volleyball. And it was a long newsletter, and it kind of went, you know, like this. Oh, gosh, it's been a wonderful year. We're healthy, we're happy, and we spent 4 weeks in Paris and Italy, all first class, including the flight. We just bought our second home, 6,000 square feet, you know, up in the mountains, and also rented a houseboat for a month on Lake Powell, and just enjoying life to the fullest. And I got done reading that, and, well, it was like, yay! And I was sitting there going, geez, I didn't have anything close to a year like that. But, you know, I mean, if I was writing a newsletter, you know, it would probably say pretty much the same thing every year. I just like spending time at the beach most mornings, walking along the beach and just getting ready for my day. Love seeing my grandkids, taking them back and forth to school and, you know, playing with them, working on my projects, teaching, and love doing the show. So that's been pretty much my year looking back on 2017. And it was, you know, a good year, except for losing my mom in July. And I still look at her picture every day and pray to her. When she was sick with the dementia, towards the end, I didn't know for sure whether or not she understood what I was saying. But now I feel her presence, and I really do know that she's still there for me. And so, yeah, so that was kind of my last year. But so what about the upcoming year? When we do the show, sometimes I talk about what my New Year's resolutions are for the following year. And I'm going to make a resolution not to force myself to do anything. Last year I had all these things saying I was going to do this and that and this and that. And I kind of learned from last year that even with careful planning, things can really change in an instant. And so, yeah, you know, I have some projects that I want to do, and I'm excited about them. They're new for me. But I don't feel pressured. I don't feel like I have to do them unless I enjoy them. I also want to be healthy and energetic enough to handle any challenges that actually come up, because, you know, you never know. And in terms of my advice to you out there, I would say for 2018, think about embracing a new year and focusing on each and every day as a new opportunity to experience, learn, share, and appreciate the people in your life. Because every year at the end of the year, I'm amazed at some of the people that we've lost. And so we need to appreciate the people in our life now. And instead of spending time upset about situations you can't control, we need to focus more on what we can control. And what that is our attitudes and our actions. And just like Sifu was saying, you can't control other people. And I know we try a lot. We think we can win them over, or we can change them, and most of the time it doesn't work. And obviously we can't control the past. It's over. And so all we can do is really learn from the past. And so, my dad always tells me to, you know, I have a lunch with him every Friday, and my dad always tells me, slow down, slow down, smell the bees, you're moving too fast. I mean, he's great. You know, I always share everything with him. And, so that's always his advice to me. Slow down, you're moving way too fast. And a couple other quotes that I wanted to share with you that I think are really neat. My favorite movie of all time was Forrest Gump. And I remember before I went to see it, I thought, I'm not gonna like this. But the movie was just amazing. And there was a quote in there that I'm sure a lot of you remember. It goes kind of like this. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get. And so that's why, you know, say for this year coming up, you know, just be prepared for anything. I mean, life is a ride. It's a wild ride. If we knew everything that was going to happen to us, it wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be fun. And so we've got to be ready to step up to challenges and also ready to have some fun and trying some new things. You know, if you do the same thing every day, then life is going to get mundane and boring. And one other saying that I love and I always share with my students, it's a good one. Look for the good and you will find it. And the opposite is also true. Look for the bad and you will find that too. And it really is always our choice as to what we want to look for. There's a lot of junk out there. There's a lot going on that's negative. And there's a lot of things happening in our world that we can't control. And if we just want to make ourselves miserable, we can focus on that if we want to. I mean, we can, you know, there's enough of that in the media all the time, right? And so, so I challenge you in 2018 to kind of back off a little bit from that. It would not only do you good, but everybody else as well. And instead, take a look at what is good in the world, because there's a lot of good. And that's my advice for 2018. And we'll be back with more Pep Talk and Dr. Mamiko Odegaard right after this.
Environmentally sound for your mind. HRNradio.com.
We are back with more Pep Talk. And next up is Dr. Mamiko Odegaard, an internationally recognized love, relationship, and performance expert. She's also an award-winning best-selling author of Daily Affirmations for Love and Overcoming Self-Sabotage, and has over 30 years experience as a psychologist and life and business coach. And she has helped thousands of individuals and couples to reach greatness in love, relationships, and world-class performance, and was awarded Strathmore's Who's Who Worldwide Professional Life Coach of the Year. And today she will help us overcome self-sabotage. What a great way to start the new year. So welcome, Mamiko.
Thank you, Sharky. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm so happy to get to talk to you. I mean, this is, you know, we're coming into a new year, and I think we all want this to be the best year that we've experienced. And I love your idea of overcoming self-sabotage. So, and I understand that you have a story about how you overcame self-sabotage. Can you share that with us?
Yes, I'd love to. I came to the U.S. from Japan when I was 7 years of age. And when I came here, then I was faced with bullying and teasing, and I immediately became ashamed of my appearance, even my name, and certainly of my ethnicity. And so my lifelong passion was really to develop ways to accept and love myself and overcome shame and self-sabotage, because guess what? What I learned and what I developed from that is that there are three things. One is that you've got to be irresistible to yourself so that you are really just the shining light. You can attract the type of people that to you, and the people that are working, whether it's in sales or in your own business, then being able to attract and to work with your ideal clients so that they can't say no to you. And then also being irresistible to your family and to your loved ones, as well as your working mates and friends. And then the second thing is that I learned that you have to learn to be invincible. And by that, I'm talking about overcoming obstacles, because life is full of challenges, and you can really face them and grow from each challenge, or you can step back and go backwards. And the third is for you to claim your best self and just be iconic, so that you're setting your legacy right now as being the best person, the best spouse, the best person, or in the career that you've chosen. So anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, great. Well, you talk about the first thing. You've got to be irresistible to yourself. And for a lot of people, that's hard, because we're our own worst critics. And so,
that's exactly right.
So how do you achieve that? Tell us how to do it.
There's a method that I developed that's called conscious loving. And one of the things that we do is to have what is called moment-to-moment awareness, so that you're aware in the present time exactly what you're thinking and believing and the ways that you're acting or reacting. And so one of the quick ways to do that is to really be aware in the moment that you are without judgment or criticism. Because as soon as we begin to criticize ourselves, then we lose that energy, and we begin to contaminate other people, too, so that we begin to look through the eyes of criticism and judgment toward others, and we become perfectionistic, not only of ourselves, but of others.
Okay. All right. Can you define self-sabotage for us? I mean, I think most people understand, you know, what it is, but give us a real strong definition. And
In terms of a general concept of self-sabotage, it's any sort of conscious, and it can even be unconscious, beliefs or thoughts or actions that take us away from our goals. And what happens is that when they take us away from our goals, then these beliefs, these actions, then they contaminate our efforts. And so that's why it's so important to start the year knowing how do we sabotage ourselves.
Okay, so how do we sabotage ourselves? How do we know?
Well, there are a lot of examples of self-sabotage. How many of you are procrastinating, or you're disorganized, or you're feeling frantic from spending way too much money over the holidays, you know, or other things like just not getting enough sleep and hitting that snooze alarm too many times? And what it does is it starts your day off on a wrong foot, so that you don't have time to eat, you don't have time to compose yourself, you rush to work, and you increase the chances of getting into an accident because you're rushing so much. You know, and then on top of that, just some daily things like becoming irritable when we're stressed and we're meeting pressures or deadlines, and then we start barking at the people around us,
right?
Whether it's family, whether it's work partners, whether it's even friends, that we begin to take things the wrong way. So there are a lot of ways that we sabotage.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I notice that a lot of times people, kind of take it out on others, and it's usually not you that they're mad at. They're just upset with themselves, right?
That's right. Exactly. And one of the things, going back to that whole thing about conscious loving, is there's two aspects that I want to clarify, because we typically sabotage ourselves. One is that we make assumptions about what the other person is thinking or feeling or needing or wanting. And guess what? We are oftentimes wrong. And so the best way to counter that is to really just to communicate with the other person. And the other thing, too, that we do is that we tend to make decisions or react out of heightened emotions, fear, anger, anxiety. And when we make decisions out of fear and anger, as an example, when they're heightened, then the results are oftentimes not desirable. They take you, again, away from your efforts and away from your goals, so that they tend to contaminate. So one rule is to avoid self-defeat, or better yet, to look at it, to help yourself, is to make decisions when you're calm, not when you're in a heightened state.
Okay, yeah, I know. A lot of us are very reactive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like Sifu said, you know, breathing is really good. Deep breathing.
That's right. Absolutely. So
right.
We can use all the tools. tools that we have, right?
Right, right. Well, a lot of people struggle not only with self-sabotage, but also with their relationships. And so I know you do a lot of work with people with not only, stopping to, to get them to stop sabotaging themselves, but do you work with couples and show them how to work together? I imagine that a husband and a wife would, if they're both going through self-sabotage, it's going to affect their relationship, right?
That's absolutely right. And in fact, one of the ways that I work with couples that's really different is that I put them together in a room or a certain situation for 1 or 2 days.
Oh, okay.
They really learn about themselves and about each other, as well as learning the effects that they have on the other person and ways to communicate. And so instead of the typical counseling situation when people are in distress where it's, sorry, the time is up, this way we actually get through resolutions and we have natural stopping points.
Okay.
But one of the things that really helps couples, and I want to be aware of this, and that is that even if your partner is not into relationship building and doesn't want to do a self-help course or go to coaching or counseling, something like that, then I want you to be the first one to do it. And the reason why is I've had countless individuals who sought me out because they've had relationship issues, either choosing the wrong partners over and over, or they're not happy with the partner that they're with.
All right.
And what happens is that when they begin to make changes within themselves, they affect not only their partner, but everybody else around them.
Okay. Mamiko, we're going to come back and talk about that. I want to find out what you do with those people in a room together for 2 days. And so we're going to take a short break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about relationships, okay?
Sounds great.
Okay, we'll be back with more Pep Talk and Dr. Mamiko right away.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
We are back with more Pep Talk, and we're here today with Dr. Mamiko Odegaard, and she has been talking about self-sabotage and certain ways that we do it, what it is. And before the break, Mamiko, we were talking a little bit, not so much about self-sabotage, but the way that couples can sabotage their relationships. And you said that you put them in a room together for 2 days. What's going on at those 2 days?
There's a lot of things, but one of the things, besides following my unique method that's called conscious loving, is I also have something that's called HEART, and it's really easy for people to implement. And that is, one of the things that I do in the 2 days is that I have them become aware and listen, support each other in terms of the hurt, because in any relationship, there's some sort of hurt, there's some sort of pain, whether it's not feeling prioritized, not getting enough affection, not getting enough sex, not having that communication. So you want to be able to hear that hurt and really just develop it, not only to emote and to be able to release it, but more importantly, that your partner gets you, so that it's something that's really mutual in terms of hearing. The other thing, too, is that it's interesting because when couples marry each other or they're in a relationship with each other, it's not just the relationship with each other. It's the relationship of their families and their ancestors going back generations. And so it's really great to identify the rules that they're carrying about, what the expectations they have about themselves and others. And the third is that now they're having this increased awareness and they're able to. The fourth step is to reframe and to create new beliefs and rules that are really more functional and just learn different skills, whether it's learning how to stop yourself and knowing the signals of, the red, green, and yellow as to whether your partner is giving you that kind of halt signal. And then the last is really just transforming, and we're able to do this in 2 or 3 days, even with people that have had or are experiencing an affair.
Okay. So have you ever had this 2 days of these people together, and then at the end of 2 days, they go, that's it, we're out of here?
No, I've never had situations where I've worked with couples of do we stay or do we leave?
Right.
And there are times when they really realize that they're so different in terms of who they were attracted to and the persons that they are now. And they, because they've gone through this one or two days with me, then they really part on just loving terms and mutual respect and just really wanting to support each other.
Oh, okay, that's nice. I like this. And you also talk about 48-hour makeovers for peak performance. So what do you do in that 48 hours with this person?
Well, just like you, Sharky, I work with elite and professional athletes as well. And so this is so much fun because, as you know, athletes are really driven. They know about coaching. They're really open to coaching. And so what I do is I really look at those limiting beliefs that they have, but I also teach them as to how they can focus moment to moment. So with athletes, I really focus on this triangle that we have, and that is the mental, the emotional, and the physical. And everything starts out with mental because you can instantly change your emotions and your energy and mm-hmm. your strength. And when they begin to see that and they become more aware as to how one part could be off, so that if they're physically off, what they can do to address that, and also how they can use their mental strategies, that is the mind game, to affect their performance.
Right, right. And I think a lot of times too many athletes just focus on the physical. They think that if they do everything better than their competition that they'll win. And a lot of times they're not getting that mental conditioning.
That's right, because you've heard many athletes say that the fine line, especially when you talk about high-level, world-class performers, is that it's really in the mental game as to how they can be in the zone or how they can instantly get themselves there. And there's a number of techniques that are used to get them there.
Right, right. And so I love the fact that you really, really work with people in terms of loving themselves. And I think that this is a real big issue, especially for young women, because they have the media sometimes working against them. Do you work with young women as well?
Yes. I work with all different ages, from usually about 18 on to like 80-year-olds, and even older, believe it or not. So it's never too late to make some improvements in your life.
Okay.
And I'm glad that you brought that up about women, because one of the things that I really want to point out to your listeners is to give yourself the gift of love. And you can do that by becoming self-full. And self-full is where you can be attuned to your needs, your wants, your emotions, your thoughts. And what you do is you take responsibility for them so that you prioritize yourself rather than putting your needs and wants on the back burner where you feel like you're really the caretaker or even the victim. So this is a way to really just give yourself permission to really be self-caring.
Right. I love the self-caring because a lot of times women feel like they do. They have to take care of everybody else. And it's who's taking care of you? Right, right. And so what is one message you would like to share with us here at the end to be successful and to overcome self-sabotage? What's the one tip that you would give us today to start our new year?
The one tip that I want people to remember is that self-love is equal to self-esteem, which is equal to self-confidence, and that's equal to your happiness and success in everything that you do. So it all starts with self-acceptance and love.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much. Now, tell us about where we can get your books and your coaching and your website. I'm sure you have a lot of information you can share with us on that.
Yes. If you can go to www.actonlove.com, and that's actonlove.com, and you'll see under services, you'll see a variety of services there that I offer, and even online self-help courses as to how you can up your love and have love for a lifetime, as well as my book, Daily Affirmations for Love and Overcoming Self-Sabotage. So it's all there on my website. Okay. And you can even, for those of you who would like a personal introduction, I'd love to have a time to really talk to you one-on-one. So please feel free to contact me for complimentary coaching. Just go ahead and give me a call.
Really? You would give a person a complimentary one-on-one?
Yes, absolutely. You know, because it's all about building that trust and building that relationship, and I want to show you exactly how important each and every one of you are.
Well, that's awesome. I see your book, Daily Affirmations for Love. You have 365 days of love in thought and action. Can you give us a couple of your favorite affirmations?
Yes. And these are, by the way, inspired by my husband and our love together of over 40-plus years, believe it or not. And one of my favorites is that my husband would ask, or he would ask me, or I would ask him, like, how are you? And he would reply, I am so ecstatic. I just love being married to you. You're the best wife in the world, or you make my day. And he would start my day or at the end of the day or whenever I would ask him, how are you? That's one of the things that you can do to instantly energize any relationship, whether it's through your work, your child, your friend, your partner. Just remember to just give that compliment, that acknowledgement. Instead of just saying, oh, my day is okay, you can make anyone's day magnificent.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dr. Mamiko. Great advice.
Well, thank you. I love being here. And for yourself and for everyone listening, be sure to act on love. Just show that love to yourself today and every day.
Okay, and your website is drmamiko.com. Is that right?
That's right, but you can actually get there in an easier way of just going to actonlove.com.
Perfect.
It'll take you to the same place.
Perfect.
www.actonlove.com.
Thank you so much for joining us, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Take care now.
Okay, we'll be back to wrap it up right after this.
Pep it up with positive energy power right here on HealthyLife.net.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pep Talk, and to my wonderful guests, Dr. Mamiko Odegaard and Sifu Singh. Until next time, I am Sharky Zartman. Here's to your inner shark, and Happy New Year.